When writer and producer Gene Roddenberry created Star Trek, he crafted the show to help examine social issues and more in a way that was safe for viewers. A new book dives under the skin of Star Trek to examine the psyches of the show's beloved characters. Star Trek Psychology, The Mental Frontier is edited by Travis Langley and features a chapter written by two Illinois State University psychology professors, Eric Wesselman and Scott Jordan. Their chapter is entitled The Trek Through Identity. Eric Wesselman says the diversity of different characters in Star Trek provides a great launching pad for a discussion of identity.
We can talk about what it means to be a person, how you interact with other people, whether they're members of your in-group or your out-group, etc. And you can do it in a way that's divorced from the typical socio-political baggage that we have when we talk about real-world things, right? But it doesn't take long before you can make the connections and say, oh, This is like something in my real life.
And it must have been fun to go and look back at some old Star Trek episodes in order to find some concrete examples for your chapter in this book. So,
absolutely,
that must have been fun.
Scott was a wealth of knowledge in that regard.
Because you're the total Trekkie over here wearing your Jean-Luc Picard t-shirt, which I thought was a marvelous statement. Your chapter, You look at the levels of self-concept, personal, relational, and collective this way. So tell us about these three levels.
Our self-concept reflects the complexity of our daily life. I mean, we have different ways that we can get knowledge about ourselves. We can stop and say, okay, I have individual characteristics, right? I really enjoy reading books. I like to think deeply about various problems. Maybe I'm a good karaoke singer or not. But then there's also, beyond just the way we describe ourselves with individual characteristics, we also have social relationships, right? So we have family, friends, significant others that help define how we see ourselves. And then that's all sort of nested in concentric circles. On the broader level, we have the social categories that we belong to: race, gender, religion, socio-political leanings, country of origin, college, right? I mean, all of these things influence the way we think of ourselves.
When I see the word collective, I automatically think the word Borg.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
And that's, for good or bad, thank you, Star Trek. It's like day, night, black, white, collective, Borg. When I see collective, I don't necessarily think positive. Is Star Trek giving us two examples of a good collective? That is the United Federation of Planets versus the Borg, you know, you must be absorbed. You must be exactly like all of us. Individualism is gone. So does Star Trek give us great examples of collective?
The whole Borg arc, which they use Picard mainly to tell, that whole arc ends up telling how they feel about self-complexity. And
The theory of optimal distinctiveness is sort of a newer way of thinking about a classic problem in psychology. So as far back as Adler, they've talked about how we have these competing needs to both belong but also to stand out. Most theorists sort of look at them as almost like opponent processes. Mm-hmm. We need to find an optimal way of balancing these two needs. In the chapter, we talked about this struggle within Picard, but also I like to talk about this in the larger nerd culture. As you go to conventions, things like that, everybody's there for the same things. Like, you know, you like comics, you like pop culture, you like Star Trek, Star Wars, but even among those groups, there are still people who cosplay, right?
Mm-hmm. They're standing out dressed as a particular character.
Exactly.
Magnificently sometimes. Yeah.
So in the arc of Picard, who is quite the individual, he's basically assimilated into the Borg and does everything he can to resist. He ultimately escapes, and this absorption into the hive basically traumatizes him. And the arc plays out when he goes home and he spends time with his older brother. Now, his older brother stayed home to run the vineyard. So his older brother assimilated into the culture that they were both raised in. Jean-Luc left that culture to become more distinctive and to continuously become increasingly distinctive by being in all these new places. The two brothers actually come to blows at some point out in the vineyard. And what this represents, if you like, is John Luke retaining his balance, recognizing his brother isn't a loser for having stayed behind and he's not a god for having left, that they both are searching for their own balance. And the way they handle it is very human. And so you have to do the whole Borg arc to get to that episode where the two brothers actually come to blows to, I think, understand what the writers are trying to do.
Well, certainly Jean-Luc stands out because he's an amazing captain, but he's a part of Starfleet, though. He is a part of a type of collective. He's not back on the farm, and he's not one of the vineyard men. Did he replace that with Starfleet in a way, a place that would allow him to be a part of something, yet still allows him to fly way above?
That's a great question, because you probably distinguish yourself at different levels and different levels of, you know, self-complexity. So while he may not be all that distinct in Starfleet, I guarantee you the character committed his career to being the best captain. But at the same time, though, while he might not be that distinct within the Star Trek context or the Starfleet context, he's quite distinct in relation to the larger context of the people on Earth. So, you know, all these different levels afford us opportunities to assimilate or distinguish ourselves. And, you know, striking a balance at every level in relation to all those levels is sort of what we do, and it's sort of what we live through, you know, every moment of the day.
One of the things I think that Star Trek demonstrates really well in the very first series is that problem that we have as a person, our own identity, when we get shaken up or what have you, when we have to deal with cognitive dissonance. And I think the character of Spock really is a great illustration of cognitive dissonance, because he has to deal with being half human and half Vulcan.
Dissonance broadly involves a situation in which two of our attitudes or beliefs, or maybe one of our attitudes and our behaviors, somehow conflict, and we recognize that conflict, and it usually feels pretty unpleasant. So we are motivated to reduce that unpleasantness to a level that we can tolerate. And the more important those issues that are conflicting are, the more important they are to our self-identity, the worse that dissonance is going to feel. In the case of Spock, these two aspects of his identity, he sort of sees them almost as dualities, right? There's the rational side and the emotional side, and they really can't be reconciled, at least stereotypically.
Do you still feel anger toward Parman?
Great anger.
And you, Dr. McCoy?
Yes, Spock.
Then you must release it, gentlemen, as I must master mine. I must control.
They are embodied within Spock. He has to reconcile those two.
But I always felt that he felt almost a little ashamed of his human side.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think Roddenberry was exploring maybe a racial thing in here as well, of a divide of people of mixed race and how they are experiencing probably a cognitive dissonance? Is Spock reflecting that?
I'm sure that's part of what the Spock character represented. I think the Spock character at the same time represents one point on a continuum of the balance between emotion and rationality. And Spock's culture is committed to rationality. And unlike other Vulcans, Spock has this human aspect of him to himself that is perhaps more emotional, or at least humans are raised to live in their emotions. So I think Spock almost comes across as someone who is trained in being highly rational and inhibits himself. And so he's one aspect of that relationship between rationality and emotion. And then Kirk, of course, is happy and sad whenever he wants to be.
And he's very in touch with his emotions.
And the tension between those two really creates a space for convergence and for reconciliation and for understanding.
Are we really learning, though? Are we really learning about ourselves, do you think, through the TV shows?
The answer is absolutely yes. One of the best things ever on TV was the Next Generation episode, Measure of a Man.
It was about Data, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Commander, what are you?
An android.
Which is?
Webster's 24th Century Dictionary, 5th edition, defines an android as an automaton made to resemble a human being.
And a scientist comes from Starfleet and has orders to be able to take Data back to Starfleet and disassemble him because they don't have the instructions and they want more. Data asks for asylum, and so they hold a trial to figure out if Data's property. and Riker is forced to be the prosecutor, and Picard is the defense. Riker does all the traditional things someone would do to try to argue something's his property. He argues that humans created it, and he argued that humans can make it stop, and he presses his off button. And it's this sort of devastating moment. And so Picard comes out as the defense and grants all those things. They come from people made them. They can be turned off. And then he basically makes the same sort of argument about human children. And then he argues that the issue is not what he is. The issue is what are we? And when we have to define him as that, it says something about what we are. So Picard's trying to say that we can act as if the issue in individual difference is coming up with a clear definition of what each of us is. But the bigger issue is we're doing that defining of them so that we can maintain a definition of ourselves.
That's Scott Jordan and Eric Wesselman from the Illinois State University Department of Psychology. Star Trek Psychology, The Mental Frontier is currently available from Sterling Press. I'm Laura Kennedy.